Good evening,
Love
good evening.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to College Bible Talk with Enelyn and Sarilyn Medrano. We're delighted that you've chosen to join us tonight. We have a word from the Lord. So get your pens, your papers, and invite a friend, because we are going to hear what the Lord says today.
Amen.
And take a note of our new ministry, Time and Day. It will be Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and it will be live on Blog Talk Radio and live on Mary Washington social platforms. And today, we're going to start our new section, which is B, Who Am I Becoming? And just a recap for everybody that has been joining us, and if you're joining us today, we've been going through the book Believe, and it's called Believe, Living the Story of the Bible to Become Like Jesus. And our goal is, our Father's goal, which is to become like Jesus. Jesus is an example. He was sent for us as an example so we can live holy and acceptable before Him. And the first part, the first section we went was Think, What I Believe. And there we get to know God and what He wants us to think like Jesus. And then from that we went from act, is what should we do?
Yes.
What should we do to strengthen our relationship and know the Lord more? And now, like I said, we're going into our section, be, and who am I becoming? Who the Lord wants us to become. When we become saved, we get His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we receive the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, which is all the things that are going to be exhibited in us, is going to be love, joy, peace, self-control, hope, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and humility. But the first one, and the most important one, is the first fruit, love, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before we go any further, we're going to have a moment of prayer where you're going to yield the floor to Sister Sarilyn so she can start us off.
Amen. Father God, thank you for allowing us to assemble here. Thank you, Lord. There's no lack in our lives with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that everyone who hears this, the listening audience, whether live or in the archive, that may hear a word that changes their entire life.
Yes, yes.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And again, like I said, this section is Who Am I Becoming? And they start this section off with the scripture, John 15:5, and it says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen for the word of Jesus. Amen, amen. And in this passage above, Jesus compares the Christian life to a vine. He is the vine, and we are the branches. If we remain in the vine of Christ, over time, we will produce amazing fruits that people will see. This is what people will see. Again, we've been iterating. If we are in Christ, people will see that. People will see that we are a follower of Christ.
Yes.
Jesus is the good tree. And Him being the good tree, the pure tree, He can never produce bad fruits. So when we stay in Him, we will bear good fruits because we are part of Him. And through His Spirit and guidance, the spiritual fruits will help manifest in us and help us live holy and acceptable. And one of the first fruit, and one of the most important fruit, is love. And going into our chapter, love, our key question is, what does it mean to sacrificially and unconditionally love others? And our key idea we're going to be discussing is, I'm committed to loving God and loving others. And our key verse is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, and it says, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son as a sacrifice for our dear friends. Since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Amen, amen. So the ultimate fruit, the essential virtue, and the most important expression of being like Jesus is love. Again, Jesus loved us so much that He went to that suffering, and He died on the cross, and He was working on the cross for us, for our freedom, for our peace, for our transgression, for our sickness. He did that. So when the question says, what does it mean to sacrificially and unconditionally love others, Jesus modeled that, and we are to model Jesus. He's our example, and He showed us that. And one of the first points that they have highlighted here is love defined. And the Bible is a complex narrative. So in the Bible, we see the stories of ups and downs and successes and failures. But what is the big theme, yet simple, is the idea behind all the stories and teaching is love.
Yes.
And love dominates God's story. So from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see how much God loves us. In Genesis, we see how God made everything. He made everything for us, and he said it was good. And in Revelation, we see that humans, because they disobeyed God, evil and sin was brought in our lives. But Jesus, the Lord, being a good God, he came. He's going to come. In Revelation, it says that he's going to come, and he's going to defeat evil once and for all. Amen, 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 amen. That is love. And we're going to dive in deeper in First Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to see how the Bible, how it's biblically defined, how love is biblically defined. So in First Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, it says, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging symbol. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all and possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship so I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing." So here we see in the word that we can be gifted. We can have the gift that God gave us. But if we don't have love backing that up, we're using them in vain. The Lord was telling me here that love is, when you're doing everything in love, we actually become efficient, successful builders in his kingdom. Because if we don't have love behind our actions, then we're going to be doing it in for us, for our pleasure, or for our boasting, or we're going to envy others' gifts. We need to have love, and we need to understand what love is. So the Lord, he's a good God. He tells us right here what love is. So going further into the scripture, it says, love is patient. It says, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Amen, amen. Thank you for the word, Lord. And we see this. We see this throughout the entire Bible, how the Lord, he never loses hope in mankind. Because if he would have done that, he would have destroyed us. But he's still being merciful. He still kept us, and he's still keeping us when we accept him and his son. And going down further, it said, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all these is love. Again, we need to have love, and we need to have love back in our every actions, because then we're going to fall in what love is not. We're going to fall in coveting our brothers and sisters. We're going to find dishonoring others. We need to seek the Lord and tell him. We need to see ourselves, what the definition of love is, and then we're going to put ourselves in between. Am I being patient to my brothers and sisters? Am I being kind? We need to self-examine our actions and see if we're really exhibiting true love, agape love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And the second point is the greatest commandment. And love as the greatest commandment can be found early in God's story with his people. And one example of this can be seen with Moses when he gathered the Israelites to the promised land and he reminded them of what truly matters. And we see here that he says to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength.
Amen.
That means love the Lord with everything you have.
Amen.
When you love somebody, you act upon it. Love is an action word.
Amen.
And we see here that you can't just say you love somebody and don't act upon it.
Amen.
You have to exhibit it and the actions that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it all starts in your heart. So you have to be passionate about Christ. And when you're passionate about something, that's all you want to talk about. You want to talk about it at the store, at your house, everywhere. Yeah. And it actually says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, going further down. It says, and talk about it when you talk about it along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Mm-hmm. Talk about it when you sit at home. Have them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead.
Amen.
Write them on your door frames of your houses and your gates. So you should talk about this. You should spread the word, spread the gospel. Talk
about
this everywhere you go because you love him.
Amen,
and
amen.
You want to share what he has done for you.
Amen, amen.
And in addition to loving God, that we're also commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And here we see in Leviticus chapter 19, it says here, rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in their guilt. So So we do this in love.
All right,
because
now.
We want to share the truth. We want to correct others. We want to rebuke others, but in love.
Uh-huh.
Because we want to see them saved. We want to see them caught up with the Father.
Uh-huh.
We want to snatch them out of fire because we
all
love
right.
them.
Amen.
The truth.
Amen.
And it also says here, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people,
uh-huh.
but love your neighbors as yourself. I am the Lord. So leave it all to God. He will protect you. We don't have to take matters into our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can make the situation worse.
Amen.
Because God is a just God. He
uh-huh.
can do the justice. You don't have to do the justice by
Amen.
Yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus confirmed these two commands from the Old Testament. Love God and love others
mm-hmm.
are the greatest commandments. And we see here in Mark chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart and all your soul. And with all your mind and all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Notice how he said God first, then others. We have
mm-hmm.
to love God first, then we can love others.
Amen,
because
amen,
you
amen.
Love God
amen.
First.
Amen.
If you don't love God first, you can't truly love
mm-hmm.
others. If you don't have the love of God, you don't know how to act and be love other people
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus meant what he said. There's
amen.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Uh-huh.
And you can be like, what if somebody is rude to me? No, you still have to exhibit that love.
Amen.
Even though they could be rude to you, you still show love to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Another key point is the new command. So every moral law of the New Testament fits under one of these two greater commands, love God and love others. So when we look at the Ten Commandments, we see thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, respect your mother and father. But all of these fit under love God and love others. So like Sister Selin said, if you love God, you will then see his love in your life and see how much he's loved you, see how much he's forgiven you, and you will understand that and you will know to exhibit that agape love towards others. And this law was given to express God's high standards for community in his kingdom and to demonstrate legally that people were incapable of keeping God's perfect command and requirements and needed a savior. So again, when we, Adam and Eve, mankind, disobeyed God, we had sin entering our lives. So we were incapable of ourselves to do this. But then the Lord being merciful, he sent his son, and through his son, when we accepted him, we have the Holy Spirit, and that is what makes us capable to fulfill the law. So Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he offered us a new commandment. And here it says, going in John 13, it says, a new command I give you, love others as I loved you, so you must love others. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So here we see that Jesus is saying this, love one another as I loved you. So I notice here that it doesn't say love God as you love, but love God first and love others. But we see this when we examine Jesus' life, we know that without a doubt, he loved the Lord. But here he's telling his disciples that he, look how I'm modeling this. Look how what I went through for my life. I'm showing you how I loved you. And in that, you will see that I loved the Father, that I was obedient to him unto death, that I did this. I loved the Lord and I loved you. So here we see that from this point on, the commandment to love is never referred to again in the same way. Instead of us trying hard to love God and others, we receive Christ's love for us and what he's done and then pass it on to others. This is what Jesus did as our example. He received the love of the Father and passed it on to us. It is God's love in us that gives us the capability to love others. Again, when we see the goodness of the Lord, we really see that, and we really see it in the Word, but not only in the Word, in our personal life. For me, in my personal life, even before when I accepted Christ, he still loved me. And then something that he told me is that there's nothing I can do for him to love me more. He loved me back then. He's loved me now. So just he always loves us. We always see that. And when we're left to our own sinful nature or flesh, we move away from unconditional and sacrificial love and instead crave to satisfy our own wants or needs. But living a life filled of love requires the presence of God's love and power within us. When we yield to this presence in our life, the presence being the Holy Spirit, it produces within us love for others. The law, the Word, Jesus, gives us some instructions regarding how to live a life of love. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one that empowers us to actually do it. So here in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, and I'm going to end in verse 25, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. So now that we accepted Christ, we are free. But do not use this freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Yes, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are free. But we need to die daily to ourselves, because we can go back and indulge our flesh. We need to know who we belong to, and we need to die daily to ourselves. And one of that is, when we die daily to ourselves, we serve one another humbly in love. Continuing in the scripture says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbors as yourself." Again, like I was saying, when you look at the Ten Commandments, when it says, "Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not kill or steal," if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to break those.
Amen.
And it says here, going back in the scripture, "So I say, walk in the Spirit."
Yes.
When we walk in the Spirit, when He's leading us, we will not be fooled or being, we will not gravitate towards the desires of our flesh.
Amen.
And then it says that the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. And when we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see that it's like there's no envy, all that. We see that here. So we see this is not. It says that this is obvious. When you have these, it's obvious that you're not walking in spirit, that you're not exhibiting love. But going down in the scripture, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The first one is love. And if we don't accept God's love, we won't be able to exhibit joy or peace, because out of love, when we have true love, we can experience true joy, peace, and all the rest. Our capability to love begins with receiving God's love for us. Again, when we see how good the Lord has been to us, we can finally comprehend that that is true love and exhibit to one another. And going into 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Amen. We know that true love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So again, when we know who God is and His love, we have known God and we know what God is. However, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Again, when we know God, we know what true love is, that agape love, that brotherly love. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we may live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
Yeah.
Amen. So again, the revelation that He gave me is that He didn't love me when I accepted Christ. He's been loving me. He's been loving all of us. Before the earth was formed, He knew us, and He loved us since. And He already had this plan. He knew He was going to send His Son because He loved us so much. And now when He sent His Son, we have an example. Because, again, we need to remember that Jesus was flesh and bones like us as well. He had the Spirit guiding Him. And, again, we have the Spirit when we accept Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the next key point is loving example. So now that we have a clear understanding of love as God intended it to be, it's powerful to look how love has been exemplified by God's people in the Bible. And one of these examples is with Jonathan and David. And we see here that Jonathan was the king of Saul, and he saw the anointing that David had. The God's hand was on David.
Yes.
And also King Saul saw that as well. But instead of Jonathan recognized him, and he vowed to protect David. But instead, King Saul, he saw that, but instead became jealous and insecure.
All right, now.
And what I got from that is that what God has for you is for you. Don't compare yourself to other people,
amen,
because
amen.
That's when the insecurity and the jealousy comes in.
Uh-huh.
And that just reminded me of a scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7.
Uh-huh.
Any door that God opens, no man can close. And any door that God closes, no man can open. So whatever is for you is for you. You don't compare yourself to anyone out there.
Amen.
So going deeper into the story of Jonathan and David, Jonathan saw that King Saul was jealous and, and insecure of David. And he vowed to protect him. And he saw that King Saul was going to kill David, but he protected him and loved him like himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved David. And David was no longer going to be killed. But, of course, the ultimate model for a life of love comes from Jesus. He consistently referred to love and grace flowing first from the Father to him and then to us. This is a secret to loving others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be reading here John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And I lay down my life for the sheep.
Thank you, Lord.
I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also.
Yes.
So even the people who aren't believers, bring them in and show love to
mm-hmm.
support them.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This
yes.
command I have from my Father. So you have to lay down your own life,
mm-hmm.
your own free will. You can't
mm-hmm.
be forced to do it. You have to do it out of your own accord.
Uh-huh.
And no one can make you do it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me.
Uh-huh.
And you have to make the decision to die to yourself daily and follow
uh-huh.
Jesus
uh-huh.
and show that love. Amen.
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 Amen. As a conclusion for the chapter Love, love is the ultimate expression of becoming like Jesus. God the Father desires unconditionally and sacrificially love others like Jesus did. He is our example. And we are to look into the Word and see how he modeled it. We're also supposed to ask for his guidance and let the Holy Spirit guide us into what true love is. And biblical love is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I admonish you to look at it, to really look at it by yourself and see, am I fitting this? Am I doing this? And if not, ask the Lord to evaluate his Holy Spirit. You can repent as well. Repent and know that you'll be saved. Know that he's faithful to forgive you. And to love God and love our neighbor is the standard of God, which is something we cannot do of our own. But through the Holy Spirit, we can.
Amen.
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 Amen. And we have three questions that we want to leave with the audience today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, what does it mean to sacrificially and unconditionally love others?
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
soul, and mind, and strength? And the last one is, how would you describe the amount of love you show for others?
Amen,
like
amen. And the three takeaways for holy living is to love God first,
yes,
so you can
yes.
love others. Tell God to show you what love is and see how God exhibits love in your life and see how merciful he is. Because when you forgive others, when we see how much he's forgiven us, then we can forgive others.
Amen.
And our second point is to remain in Jesus. Again, we need to study the word and really see what the word is showing us and how Jesus exhibited when he was walking on this earth realm, and then ask God the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit so then he can guide us into all truth. And
amen.
The third point is forgive others and don't hold any ault against people.
Amen.
So when we forgive,
amen.
we let go of all that bitterness and we don't have to live in discord and all wild up.
Amen.
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 Amen. And now we're going to yield the floor. This is Sterling. She's going to close us off with prayer.
Amen.
Father God, thank you for allowing us to assemble here. Thank you, Lord, for everything. That for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everyone
mm-hmm.
who's listening here, and for salvation of the audience, whether it be live here or in the archive. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. And we ask you to join us next week, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And please make sure to give into our ministry and help us grow and grow the gospel and speak the gospel more.
Amen.
Amen.
www.ibolec.org, or you can go to www.marywashingtonministry.org. And select a partner tab and give unto this ministry. God bless you. We thank you in advance. We thank God for the joy. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bible talk. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.